The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to Busted Open, the Masters Class. That's right. This drops each and every Sunday. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and subscribe and comment. We appreciate all the loyalty. And of course, you can always hear Busted Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156. And as we do with every Busted Opens the Masters Class, we have Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, Mark Henry. Gentlemen, welcome to another edition. I think school is now in session. You guys are our professors for the weekend. And what a weekend it is, because tonight, as this podcast drops Sunday morning tonight, we have Hell in a Cell, and there's an interesting history when it comes to Hell in a Cell. We're going to share some of our favorite Hell in a Cell matches, moments, and maybe even some moments that you guys have had inside Hell in a Cell. Really quick, as you guys know, I'm a huge fan of Georgia Championship Wrestling. Tommy Wildfire Rich and Buzz Sawyer was one of my all-time favorite feuds, and their blow-off match, which was at the Omni in Atlanta, October 23rd, 1983, a lot of people that regard that as the first ever Hell in a Cell match. Wasn't billed as a Hell in a Cell match. It was a cage match with a roof over the top. So a lot of people look back as that being the original Hell in a Cell match. But guys, there's a lot of tradition when it comes to Hell in a Cell. So maybe we can go into some of our all-time favorite Hell in a Cell matches. Tommy, what would be your favorite Hell in a Cell match?
Thinking about the history, and I know this, for me, set the bar, and it's the most talked about, and that's Undertaker, Mankind. One, because it really did put Mankind on that next level. I believe he had this amazing match with Shawn Michaels in a steel cage. It was in Philadelphia, and it saw like the crazy bumps. I've been in steel cages. I've been in War Games. I've never been in Hell in a Cell, but everyone talks about the danger, and we all know about getting thrown off of it. And then you also hear about, you know, I remember watching it and thinking like, oh, this is all rigged, where you would step on the top and, you know, it was meant to break. Then you find out years later, and I'm telling you, I found this out on the Mick Foley documentary, it wasn't meant to break. And when he got chokeslammed through the cage and hits the ring, years later, they gimmicked the ring, which was just horrible. You know, and the chair hits him in his face. He loses his tooth. It was amazing storytelling, and like put Mick Foley next level on the map. The other thing that amazes me that I found out watching the Mick Foley documentary, and I have no clue how nobody has ever spoken of this except for the man himself, that the Undertaker had a broken ankle going into that match and climbing the Hell in a Cell with a broken ankle and then stepping on footing that literally is falling every time they said it, or these you know how much pain that dude must have been in? And I understand, you know, Mick Foley wanted that pain and Undertaker kept telling him no, but Undertaker goes into that match with a broken ankle and performs to the level that he did. And another great moment is when Terry Funk gets chokeslammed and he made his shoes fall off because he took a, as he's going up in the air, he popped off his shoes, his sneakers, which is an unknown thing, but Terry loved talking about it to make it look like how devastating the chokeslam was that it knocked his sneakers off his feet.
Wow. That's right. Good, Tommy. Damn, it's you set the bar high as hell. Shit.
But you,
Damn.
But and you know kudos what? To Mick Foley, because I always said I took all those bumps everywhere, but Mick Foley took one really big one and got paid a lot more money than I ever did for it. So I'm an idiot.
You know what, though, Tommy? But for moments, I think people would go back to that for what we saw, like the, you know, the train wreck, what it did to Mick Foley, and obviously added, as you said, to Mick Foley's legacy. But Bully, you know, when it comes to actual matches in a Hell in a Cell, what match would you choose as your favorite?
Before I get to my favorite Hell in a Cell, Tommy talking about Mick Foley and getting paid a lot more money, you know, for taking those kind of falls. I actually learned a very important lesson from Mick Foley, and taking you back to the first TLC when I climbed the 20-foot ladder and then Edge and Christian, you know, pushed it over and I fell through the four tables on the floor. I remember talking to Mick Foley a couple of weeks later, and he said, Bubba, why did you take that bump? And I said, well, Mick, I wanted to do something memorable. Just like you got thrown off the top of the cage, I wanted to carve out my little moment in history. And he goes, that's great, but do you realize you would have gotten paid the same amount of money for taking a clothesline? And I thought about it for a second, and that's when I realized, you know, Tommy is saying that Mick Foley got paid a lot more money, but he would have gotten paid the same amount of money if he wouldn't have taken the bump off the top of the cage. Meaning, when you're doing these things and taking these crazy bumps, just keep in mind that the almighty dollar is the most important thing if you're going to put your body on the line like that. Because I don't believe we actually get bonused in the world of the WWE for taking a fall from 20 feet high or taking a backdrop. I know I never did. I don't know about Tommy or Mark, but that just reminded me of that. Mark, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that it's kind of counterproductive. I mean, not counterproductive. It's like what you're saying has some relevancy, but as it relates to royalties and how much usage footage gets used and when it gets used, the impressions of Mick Foley being tossed off the cage, Undertaker, has probably got as many usage and as many views as anything that they've ever done in history. So when his royalties come, it's on the video game. It's on this. It's on that. Mick got paid a lot of money because the spot that he picked just happened to be one of the most iconic bumps that ever was taken. So, yeah, he does get paid more.
On the back end. Not
on the back end, but not for the actual bump.
Right. Yeah. And I think that was the lesson he was trying to teach me was, listen, be very selective about your huge bumps because you're not going to make any more money for that actual night. So that was a cool lesson learn from Mick. And I'm still waiting for him to give me back my red and black flannel. But that's a story for another podcast. As far as my favorite Hell in a Cell match, there are so many of the typical ones, and I'm not going with a typical one because as a tag team wrestler, I know what it's like to be kind of on the back burner in the WWE unless you steal your spot on the front of the burner, unless you take your spot on the front of the burner. And I believe at Hell in a Cell 2017, the Usos and the New Day took their spot at the front of the burner. It was for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, two real traditional tag teams. I don't think there's ever been a traditional tag team match in Hell in a Cell with, like I said, real deal tag teams like the New Day and the Usos. I know there might have been one or two other tag matches, but it was like Stone Cold and Taker versus somebody else or this guy and this guy thrown together tag teams. So for me as a tag guy, it was nice to see the Usos and the New Day, two teams that me and Devon got to work with when we went back to the WWE in 2015, 2016, get an opportunity to go out there in a match that is normally set aside for a singles feud. Not only did they get, as two traditional tag teams, get to go into the cell, I believe they stole the show that night. And to be the match of the night at a pay-per-view like Hell in a Cell is a big deal. So definitely the Usos and the New Day get my pick for favorite Hell in a Cell match.
All right, I like it.
Dave, can I just piggyback off of something that Mark said and something that Bully said? Bubba, I agree. Like, to me, it's risk-reward. That bump that you took, they have played it thousands of times, and you will live forever for your body of work, even when you're long gone. Same like what Mark said. They show that clip of Mick Foley going off the cage, and you hear, you know, now like JR's classic call, "My God, that man's broken in half," is played, you know, everywhere. And when you talk about monetizing from it, WWE's monetized from it, especially with social media, but it's a whole world that we never were involved in when we were all there. And WWE makes a lot more money on those clips of Mick Foley taking those bumps. And Mark, I will tell you this, you're no longer in that system. Wait till you see your next few royalty checks. They somehow magically start going way down.
Down because of the network.
Yeah. But I'm just telling you even more so, they just showed a clip of ECW One Night Stand 2005. I wrote, directed, produced every match, and wrestled in the main event. I wasn't even on the clip.
Who'd you work with in the main event?
Some fat guy.
Devon's not that fat. Come on.
Wow. Come on, man. Don't throw Devon under the bus.
Mark, whatever what happened, about I'm
you?
That guy.
Well, Mark, you were a world champion going into a Hell in a Cell match with Randy Orton.
Yeah, and I felt robbed even though I won because I'm such a mark legitimately and figuratively that I wanted to have a Hell in a Cell match where every time somebody took a bump, the fire came up. And they told me no.
Why would the fire come up?
You don't remember the Hell in a Cell where the fire came up every time that somebody got slammed or clotheslined the fire?
Like, wasn't that like a Inferno match or something?
Yeah, it was an Inferno match. Wasn't it Hell in a Cell?
It was a Hell in a Cell Inferno match?
I don't think so. I think it was just an Inferno match between Taker and Kane.
Right.
But I don't think it was in a Cell. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and I'm going to go check out the videotape.
Well, you know what? Maybe it wasn't because the one that I like was Taker and Kane 2010, but that one wasn't an Inferno match. Maybe I've been hitting the head so many times I've put shit together. Like, I don't know.
Maybe that's why they said you can't get fired, you idiot, because it doesn't exist anymore.
Maybe that's why. But
I would have loved to be a fly
like
on
Tommy,
the wall
I
and try to let you down gently. Oh, sorry, Mark.
They didn't let me down gently. Bully, it wasn't gentle. It wasn't gentle. No Vaseline, nothing. Just, no, why would we do that? Come on.
Plus all the baby oil that Randy Orton has on, that could be flammable. I mean, that could be dangerous.
Dave, but just like Tommy, I have two.
Okay.
Taker and Kane, 2010. And then Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. Their Hell in a Cell match. Not only was it the first women's Hell in a Cell, and it was just so many like unbelievable layers that those women did that I just was like, you know what, man? I would not have been mad if that would have been the main event. And this was before the women were doing all the main events. Now it's commonplace for women to be in the main event.
Yep.
But that was the first time. And I gotta give them a lot of respect for that.
You know, I think a lot. Oh, go ahead, Bully.
Was there ever a Hell in a Cell match? Let me preface my question with, I'm tired of everybody climbing to the top of the cell. it, because that seems to be what everybody is waiting for. So my memory is a little shot. Has there ever been a Hell in a Cell match where the people in the cage did not climb to the top of the cell?
Well, yeah, that was going to be a match that I brought up, and that is, you know, Undertaker, Triple H, end of an era match, Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania 28 in Miami, which I think is an extremely underrated match. I mean, that was like full-blown The Undertaker's streak. Shawn Michaels does the super kick into Triple H doing the pedigree on The Undertaker, where I think everybody in the stadium thought he was actually going to get the 1-2-3, and we're going to see The Undertaker lose. A lot of people, and I think a big reason why I love that match so much too, is that when you think of Hell in a Cell, you think of The Undertaker. A lot of people think of Triple H. So that's definitely one of my favorites from WrestleMania 28, and underrated as well.
Really? I mean, it is an underrated match, but I don't think of Undertaker and Triple H. I think of Undertaker Mick Foley. I think of Undertaker Kane when I think Hell in a Cell. I mean, if they said one person's picture was in there, it would be Undertaker. Hell in a Cell is a byproduct of the dead man.
Yeah.
Dave, what's the number one thing we bitch about when it comes to steel cage matches?
Well, a steel cage match, it should A, be like the blow-off match for a feud. And the other thing is it should keep the competitors in the ring and keep people from coming into the ring. So
there you go.
Yeah.
And you would think with a Hell in a Cell, it would be to the umpteenth degree because the structure is so much bigger, it's covered. But we've gotten away from what these gimmick matches are supposed to be all about. I want to see a Hell in a Cell match, and the one you brought up, it's not as memorable to me. But moving forward, use the cell for what it's supposed to be. Now it's just a spectacle. Now you're tuning in just to see the Hell in a Cell, and if the combatants, how many gimmicks are going to be under the ring for guys to hit each other with, and who's going to climb to the top, and who's going to rip a door off, and who's going to take a Mick Foley-esque bump. I dare somebody to just work a match in a cell.
Well, I mean,
that's what I'd like to see. What do you think, Mark?
I did.
Nobody got out of the. You and Randy didn't go out of the cage?
No, we didn't go out. We everything pretty much was in the ring and at ringside. I think about the extent of it was me putting Randy. Getting Randy outside and grabbing his head and holding the post and pushing his head into the post, like me getting ready to put him into the post and him going behind and pushing me into it. We did a spot on the floor where I pressed him and threw him into the cage, and he took a pump, which made me go, oh shit. Like, it scared me. But it's like, the floor is padded. We talk about Hell in a Cell, and Hell in a Cell was under more control than the Elimination Chamber. The Elimination Chamber, I sustained injuries that I still feel today. The Hell in a Cell was a lot more tame, and But saying that you were actually in a Hell in a Cell match meant a lot to me in my career because of the prestige of the wrestler and the prestige. They just didn't let anybody in those matches. And I just felt like, you know, damn, I'm honored to be in the business at this level to where they allow me to, entertain the fans by one of the things that everybody liked the most.
Bob, have you ever been in a cage?
Yes, in ECW and against the Hardys at the Survivor Series where we won the WCW
right.
Championships. Yep. I've been in just a limited amount of cage matches.
I think the fans don't realize how much those cages hurt when you hit them. And I know that the WWE cages, I've never been in, but I've touched them. those, it's like the tightest fencing and like it's steel wrapped around it and those bars. But even in like, I've been in like crappy independent cages, but I've also been in cages that were in, you know, in ECW that we meant to be built better. And it was just, you'd hit those bars and you'd get cut, or that's also because Balls Mahoney built the cage, but that's a whole other story.
Just to prove to you how shot I am at times, like you asked me if I've ever been in a cage and I was like, oh yeah, I think once in ECW and then the tag match against the Hardys, you know, at Survivor Series.
Lockdown.
I won my first ever World Heavyweight Championship in a steel cage, and I totally forgot about that against Jeff, and that's like one of my favorite matches.
Yeah, lockdown in San Antonio. You won the TNA World Championship by beating Jeff Hardy.
And the reason I can't remember thing is because of Balls Mahoney hitting me over the head too hard with a chair. Oh, and Mark Henry once gave me a splash one time. That really knocked me out cold. Oh, let Mark don't want to talk about it. Mark don't want to talk about it. Because the splash wasn't for me, it was for somebody else.
I'm folding my
that
arms.
That splash wasn't meant for me. I saw Mark Henry. Mark Henry was supposed to splash somebody else, but I saw him coming for me, and it was like in slow motion. I was like, no! Kaboom!
World's strongest slam on the floor. Tommy Dreamer shit himself.
That's right. Oh. You made Tommy shit himself, Mark.
shot a turd right out of him.
Listen, Dave, you know you've taken a hard bump when you shit yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
The worst is when I never felt it. That was the worst part.
So, Billy, we all have the distinction of doing that. You did it too, right?
No, I missed the senton. Did. I missed the senton and crapped my pants.
Okay.
Piece of the green apple splatters.
Tommy did it, and I did it, but not in the ring. And it was, I almost hate to tell the story. Fuck. It's too late. I'm in it now.
No, it's too late now.
Oh shit. Literally. me and D-Lo were tagging, and I don't know what we ate. We both were. D-Lo did a leg drop, and he shit himself with the Outlaws on the leg drop. You know, springboard. D-Lo used to do the springboard leg drop. Bang. And I was laughing. And this is a karma thing. I'm laughing because he turns to me and go, oh, man. And I went, what? And he was like, I think I shit myself. And I went, and I shit myself, too. Oh, my God. This is horrible. I mean, I know the fans right now are going, what?
So we could do a whole podcast on the times people poop themselves. Once we were in India, it was Dustin, D-Lo, Lance Storm, and I think Regal, all in the same battle royal, and they all crapped themselves because they all were so sick, and Goldust crapped all in the Goldust outfit. It was all down and stuck in his Goldust leg.
Oh, man. Well, bless his heart, man.
How about when Andre crapped on Bam Bam Bigelow's head?
Yeah, but he did that purposely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Andre didn't
know that
God
story.
Rest his soul. God rest both of their souls. Andre did not like Bam Bam and had Bam Bam,
Bam
in
Bam
the corner.
Left too.
Bam Bam's, and Andre turned around, put his ass right on Bam Bam's head, let one fly, and the green apple splatters happened all over Bam Bam's head.
Oh, shit.
That was a big reason why Bam Bam left. I remember he went to WCW.
Wow.
Things you learn.
Man, I didn't know that.
Literally.
Well, you're welcome, podcast guys. You're welcome. And
well,
girls.
We went from Hell in a Cell to shit in a ring, but enjoy Hell in a Cell tonight on Peacock. Guys, I think we dropped some knowledge and maybe even a little bit more.
And a load. Drop a load or two.
It's the stench.
And on that note, let's get out of here. Yeah.
Don't forget, the Busted Opens Masters Class drops each and every Sunday on all social media, podcast platforms, please make sure you rate and subscribe. We have some amazing content for you, the wrestling fan. Also, listen to Busted Open Monday through Saturday on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156 for Bully Ray, for Tommy Dreamer, for Mark Henry. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Busted Open Podcast.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The executive producer is Ed Robinson. The associate producer is Gabby Laspisa. Andy King is the director of sports podcasting for SiriusXM. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night, no matter how chaotic your day is. Conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.